Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey folks, it's Mike here. This is going to be Meander Mile episode 3. As you know, this isn't your kind of regular episode. This isn't the usual tight and controlled episode that we do where I kind of introduce you to a story in someone's life and we kind of have all the sound effects and music and it's all neatly done. This is one of those episodes where I take you on a little journey through a single street in London's West End. And I just tell you various different stories, some of which may turn up in Murder Mile at some point in the future, some of which may not. Unfortunately, many of these stories just don't have enough information in them in order to turn it into a full episode. So this is going to be why we create Meander Mile. It also gives me time to rest and work on the rest of the series. So, because there won't be many descriptions on here, what you can do on my website, I will be uploading many photos so you can look at the locations that we're going to be having a peep at, or I'll put a start link on Google Maps, on my website, on social media. What you can do, some people have started doing this, it's good fun, you can follow me on Google Maps. And actually it'd be nicer because at the moment we're still in lockdown, the street's very quiet, like really scary quiet. So have a look on Google Maps. You can see actual people standing next to each other. It's amazing. So this is Meander Mile 3, and we're going to go through Chinatown. In case you don't know, Chinatown in London's West End is just south of, it's still technically in Soho, just south of Shaftesbury Avenue, just north of Leicester Square, and just a little bit east of Piccadilly Circus, which will be next week's episode. It's only a couple of streets long. Basically, it comprises of a small part of Shaftesbury Avenue, Gerrard Place, Newport Court, Lyle Street, Coventry Street, the south part of Wardour Street, but the most important bit that we're going to focus on today, which is Gerrard Street. Gerrard Street is the bit that everyone thinks is all Chinatown. It's got hanging lanterns above. It's got kind of intricate Chinese, well, not real Chinese, kind of fake Chinese-ified pagodas, but mostly it's full of lots of Chinese restaurants. There's also a couple of illegal gambling dens as well, but we won't go into that. Well, we will do, but we'll do it discreetly. So this street, I'm going to start on the western end of it, on Wardour Street, outside a pub called O'Neill's. I'll explain all this to you very shortly. We'll walk down Gerrard Street, heading east. We're only going to travel around 400 feet. It literally is one street, it's pedestrianised. 400 feet, we'll make it as far as Newport Place, and that's it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to pack in as many murders on this street as we can. I'm going to be slightly quiet because it's a very quiet street today, and a lot of these crimes are associated with triads. And I don't want to end up dead. I don't want to end up in somebody's food. So, just so you know, here's just a very, very brief history of Chinatown. At the end of the 19th century, start of the 20th century, London's Chinatown was actually in Limehouse over in the Docklands. Obviously, that was the port of London. That would be where people, many things would be unloaded, but also you get a lot of immigrants there. So there was a big Chinese community there. Obviously, World War II happened. As happens with the bombers, they would come over, they would bomb like the industrial parts of London, the main city centres, places like that. But obviously, as the German bombers were heading back to Germany, they couldn't fly back with bombs because they'd be too heavy, so they needed to unload them. They unloaded these bombs, a hell of a lot of them, over the East End, and the Docklands were, because it was a port as well, that was quite badly destroyed. So Chinatown there was destroyed. Around 1950s, everyone was kind of like, well, we need a new place to settle. They were quite unsettled. By the early 1970s, a lot of Chinese families then actually moved to Gerrard Street. Gerrard Street, south of Soho, quite run down, a cheap place to live. And because of that, because there were a lot of families already here, lots of restaurants started popping up, and this became the Chinatown. So it's only actually been Chinatown since the early 70s, but obviously we still think of it as Chinatown from a very long time ago. If you go down the street, it's one street, loads of lanterns, loads of pagodas, as mentioned. It's pedestrianised, but you know, trucks can go down there to unload. There's lots of restaurants. It's a nice place to hang out. Interesting point. On the 25th of July 2015, the new Chinatown Gate, which is on Wardour Street on the south side, we'll mention that very shortly, that was opened by Prince Andrew. Now, because this is a true crime podcast, I'm not suggesting for a second that Prince Andrew is any way associated with any kind of crime. But then again, he was friends with Jeffrey Epstein, so there we go. Right, okie dokie. So if you're looking at the map now, I'm going to be standing in front of O'Neill's on 37 Wardour Street. Wardour Street on the connection with the western side of Gerrard Street. Oh, sorry. It's an empty street and I almost ran over a cyclist. So, 37 Wardour Street, it's just behind me. Obviously, because of lockdown, nothing's open, but it's actually a pub called O'Neill's, a kind of pseudo-Irish pub, not a real one, a kind of a fake chain. It's got a black facade on the front of it. On the 1st of May 1941, this in the basement was actually a club called the Palm Beach Bottle Party Club. Not a great name. And above it, on the floors above, were actually two other clubs. This building itself is 7 stories high. But it was the first two clubs. They were both owned and ran by a 39-year-old guy called Antonio Babe Mancini. In the early hours of the 1st of May, Edward Fletcher, a Hoxton-based gangster, and Harry, nicknamed Scarface Distelman, barged into the club on the downstairs, demanded a cut of the club's proceeds, threatened to kind of smash it all up if they didn't get it. And quite rightly, both men were booted out. They claimed to be great gangsters, but they really weren't. You know me, it's, a lot of these gangster stories are quite dull and boring, and you know, gangsters try and big themselves up a little bit too much, more than they should do. Moments later, fearing that another fight was kicking off, Babe Mancini, who was the guy who was running the club, ran upstairs. Fletcher and Harry Distelman had returned. A fight broke out. Babe Mancini stabbed Hubby Distelman under the armpit. It is said that that the knifing under the armpit was so severe, it almost severed his entire arm off. Although this is possibly bullshit. To be honest, I'm yet to see the file, the police file. It's still in the archives. I haven't seen it yet. So we'll see. 50 quid says it's just a nick. Hubby Distelman staggered out into the street, literally where we're standing now, and he died in the street. His last words, it is said, was Babe done it. As in Babe Mancini. The policeman found him. He was dead. There was a long dagger found in the club. Babe Mancini actually admitted to the murder, but claimed it was self-defense. He was found guilty and sentenced to death. He had various appeals for his court case, and this was around Halloween 1941. He was executed by the world-famous Albert Pierpoint, and it is said, here we go, this is typical of gangsters, it is said that Babe Mancini shouted cheerio as the noose was put around his neck, and then he was executed. But if you think about it, in the execution chamber, only four people would have been in there. There would have been Albert Pierpoint, the executioner, his assistant, which I think was Harry Allen on that one. I could be wrong on that one. It would have been the priest as well, and the condemned man. So who would have told everyone that he said cheerio? I think it's unlikely. Anyway, that was the murder of he's nicknamed Hubby Distelman, but his real name is Harry Scarface Distelman. So that was at 37 Wardour Street, just behind us at the start of Gerrard Street. Now, if you're looking at the map and say you garbage truck is just starting up behind me. If your back is to the club we were just talking about, just to your left, you will see a very white and green 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-story building. Three shops north on 41 Wardour Street, known as Wong Quay. It's well known in London. It's widely regarded as one of the worst services you'll ever get anywhere. They're famous for being amazingly rude. I once went in there with some friends years ago. We ordered some food, we were sitting down. We weren't drunk, I have to say that, we weren't drunk. We were well behaved. And then we were just starting to eat our mains, we were halfway through the mains, and then the waiter came over, took away our plates while we were still eating. And we said, we're not finished, we haven't finished our food. And he went, no, you have. Get out. That's what they're like. So that's Wong Quay. Apparently they're trying to change everything now and be a little bit nicer and brighter, but they're not. I went in there a little while ago and it's still the same. Anyway, that's what people go in there for. It's famous for being rude. Now, if you look immediately opposite Wong Quay, which is on our left, you'll see a Vietnamese place called Viet, which is just opposite. And then that's loud. They need to get some WD-40 on that. That was the garbage truck. Just opposite that is a tiny little alley called Dancy Place. Now, I posted about this on the Patreon site a little while ago. This is one of these murders that's never going to come to Murder Mile. Whoa, that's loud. Loud. Put some WD on it, mate. It's on a murder on Dancy Place. There's so little information that literally I couldn't bring it to Murder Mile as a full story. And this is going to happen a lot on this street as well. So on Dancy Place, this story's vague, so get ready for it. It's a tiny alley. Just so you know, it's a tiny alley. It's really thin. It's at the back of all the restaurants. It's basically used as a place where all of the restaurants put out their bins. You know, that the restaurateurs come out and have a bit of a smoke. No one really goes down there. It looks really horrible. It really does. But late June or early July 1998, this is how vague it is. A Chinese gambler, now whether he was called Kui, Ji or Chi, we're not too sure, it's one of those. He was in his late 30s in an unspecified gambling club playing Pao Gao, I believe it's called. Someone will know better than me. It's a game involving 32 dominoes. He racked up a lot of debts. If you rack up a lot of debts in that point, what happens is either you have to work it off through the triads who basically run this area, or your family does, or you have to sell things. Because he was illegal over here, he hadn't got any family with him, he hadn't got any money, so they did what they often did. They beat him up, threw him down the stairs, killed him, chopped him up into bits, and then left his body in bags outside in Dancy Place for the bin men to collect. Now the problem is, obviously, this you'll hear this a lot, so with these stories, is the fact that it's impossible to narrow things down, it's impossible to prove things, because especially the gangsters in Chinatown, they don't go to the press, they don't go to the police, they don't call the different solicitors, they don't even call the fire brigade, who are based at the end of the street. They basically just deal with it themselves. So that's what happened, they left the bag out for their own personal bin men. Whether it's a myth or not, we don't know, but there's a lot of these stories, and many of them have made it into the press and are real. So we haven't moved actually at this point, so I'm still standing with my back to O'Neill's, facing right down Gerrard Street. It's a lovely quiet day. It's nice and sunny out today. If you look right, a couple of doors down at 13 to 17 Wardour Street, so just past the Chinese gate that Prince Andrew opened up, you will see a venue that we recognise from episode 10, the murder of Alfredo Zamparelli inside the Golden Goose. Now the Golden Goose is actually two streets north on Old Compton Street, but this is where it all kicked off. So just past the Chinese ornamental gate, there's a very tall kind of, just past a blue building, there's a very tall white one, opposite M&M World. Who would come to London to go to M&M World? I've never understood that. Anyway, that used to be the Latin Quarter nightclub. As you know, there was a bit of a contretemps to do. that was going on between Ronnie Knight, who was a big time gangster, and several other gangsters here at the time. They went there for a bit of a peace conference because things had been kicking off. When they went into the club, they realized it was a setup. It was, you know, they'd been drawn into a nightclub. Fight started to kick off, and David Knight, who was the younger brother of Ronnie Knight, was murdered right there in that club. So that's where it all kicked off. As you remember from the story, Alfredo Zamparelli was the guy who murdered him. What he could have done, what he really should have done, he went into hiding for a bit, and then he decided to come back. He came back, came straight to Soho, set himself up a little a premises on Frith Street, like two doors away, and every day he would go to the Golden Goose amusement arcade, start playing with it, with the games, and then he got shot dead by some contract killers. Yeah, bit of a weird one. So that's kind of where that murder started, and then it ended on Old Compton Street, just basically two streets ahead. It's really weird. So, right, next murder. My word, we're cracking through them. If you're on Google Maps or looking at this, we still haven't moved yet. We're still stuck in the same place. We're on the corner of Gerrard Street and Wardour Street. If you're facing Gerrard Street, through all the Chinese lanterns, you will see to your left is an amusement arcade called Play to Win. It's been there for quite a while. Even in the 1970s, 1980s, it's always been an amusement arcade as far as I can remember. It's on the corner, it's red. Inside, you would normally hear the ting-ting-ting-ting of kind of arcade machines and stuff like that. There's a big sign outside saying amusements, and it looks very alluring. You can go in. But back in 1989, this was called Leisure Amusements. It was went under a different name then. I'm not going to tell you too much about this story because this is episode 98. It's the next one that you'll get in about 2 weeks. But it all dates back to the 2nd of April, 1989. It was meant to be a simple robbery. Someone, I'm not going to say much, went in there, simple robbery. That was all it was meant to be. Go in there, get the money, go out. Unfortunately, it turned into a really, really horrific mass murder. But I'm gonna save that for your next episode. Whew, look at that, and we've barely moved. We've barely moved a couple of feet. So I'm going to take a couple of steps down Gerrard Street. I'm going underneath the Chinese lanterns. To my right is Gerrard's Corner Restaurant. I'm going to go underneath the first of the Chinese ornamental gates. This isn't the one that Prince Andrew opened up. To my left is the Kowloon Buffet. Good food, I've eaten there many times before. If we look on our right, you will see a restaurant. It's called London Chinatown. Obviously, it's not open today because of coronavirus. It's a three-story building. This is 27 Gerrard Street. I've never mentioned this name before, but just above here used to be the main office of Soho gangster Billy Hill. I've never mentioned him before. I don't really love gangster stories because it's hard to kind of pin them down as to, you know, whether they're true or whether they're not true, or, you know, really what's going on with them. So that's why I tend not to put them in Murder Mile unless I can pin it down. But these were his offices. He was a gangster involved in smuggling, protection rackets, extreme violence, and one of the foremost perpetrators of organized crime in Soho West End from the 1920s through to the 1960s. I know. What I'm doing on this story is, this walk that we're going on, I've added in some gangster-related stuff on there because there might be things that will come into Murder Mile later on. So I'm just walking down a very empty Chinatown. I've never seen it this quiet. It's really scary. Even like 4 in the morning, it's not this quiet. So I'm walking down the street. On my left-hand side, I'm passing the HSBC Bank. Loads of restaurants. It's so weird. It's so quiet. It really is. Anyway, on the left-hand side, just past HSBC Bank, there is a four-story building at 16 Gerrard Street, which today is called Dumplings Legend. I've eaten there many times. It's a really good place. And if I remember correctly, I think there's a club in there as well. That was a good place. 16 Gerrard Street. It's now called Dumplings Legend. This is not murder related, but there'll be some names in here that you'll recognise. So in December 1964, Hugh McCowan opened a nightclub called The Hideaway at number 16. This is right where we're outside now. McCowan had made a very silly mistake that he had offered the Cray twins, Ronnie and Reggie Cray, who were well-known gangsters in the 1960s. If you've watched the film The Legend with Tom Hardy, if there's lots of ladies out there, I'm sure you've watched all the Tom Hardy films. Really good film. That's Ronnie and Reggie Cray there, East End gangsters. They were kind of looking to move west, to move into Soho, kind of West End territory. So Hugh McCowan had offered them a stake in the club. Obviously, he was a little bit nervous about this, being approached by the Cray twins. So he said yes, but then he reneged a couple of days later. The Crays went in, they sent their people in, smashed up the place, started demanding money with menaces. Hugh did what he thought he was right. He sent it to trial. He got all his lawyers involved. Obviously, this was not a good idea because the Cray twins were quite serious about what they do. They could be quite brutal at times, but also they had a lot of connections in and around town. They'd actually bribed and threatened the jury by this point. So when it did actually go to trial, it was a hung jury. Basically, the jury could not come to a verdict because so many of them had been nobbled. They went to a retrial, but unfortunately that had to be abandoned as well. So to celebrate that, once the trial was over, obviously the Crays were exonerated, even though they were clearly guilty. They were exonerated. They came right back here to number 16 Gerrard Street to the Hideaway Club, which they had now bought off the landlord, and they'd renamed it El Morocco, and they had a big party here, which was lovely. So that was 16 Gerrard Street, where dumplings are legends. As an interesting fact, when this did start becoming Chinatown in the early 1970s, there were many, because obviously soy sauce was difficult to kind of get imported over here, difficult to get. So it's said that even though there was only about 7 Chinese restaurants here by that point, many restaurants actually used diluted Marmite, or if you're Australian, Vegemite, as a cheap substitute for soy sauce. There you go. See, we're learning all the way. So, we're just taking an extra step forwards now, and we're just passing 15 Gerrard Street. Nice red-fronted Chinese restaurant called the Lotus Garden. It's got one of those kind of pagoda roofs on the first floor, and it looks very nice. I've been in there a couple of times. I've been into most of the restaurants. It's very nice. And it's on the corner of Macclesfield Street. So Macclesfield Street and Gerrard Street. It looks very typical of Chinatown. Just to say, this story is typical of Chinatown. There's almost no information. We know it did happen, but it's almost impossible to get any information because, as I said, they don't go to the police. They don't call the fire brigade. They don't go to the press. Unless, of course, the murder involves a Westerner, then they're fine with that. With that, they're fine. They call the police and they say, there's a dead Westerner, please get rid of them. Yeah, if it's a dead Chinese person, especially a dead triad or a dead gangster, nothing is said. So this is actually the murderer, and you're going to have to apologise my pronunciation here, the murderer of Vien Quao Chau. On the 8th of October 1992, we know that this definitely happened because I remember seeing signs on the street. I've got a picture of it as well. Police signs on the street with his picture and his name and the date on there saying, we need information about this murder. It was in Cantonese as well, but you know, it never went any further, unfortunately. He was a Chinese immigrant. Right where we're standing now on the corner of Macclesfield Street and Gerrard Street, he was murdered right in the middle of the street. He was hacked to death using meat cleavers and machetes. It was night time. It's quite vague about what time it was. He was viciously attacked across the head, the back, the arms and his legs. That obviously there's an implication that this could have been a kind of a triad turf war. As we'll mention this shortly, but it's not just the triads who run this. There's kind of the Hong Kong boys, the Singapore boys, there's various different factions. So there's quite a problem that goes on. And that's, unfortunately, that's really all we know about that case. It happened here, it's in 1992. We don't know whether it's resolved. I'm going to keep looking into it, but it's going to be one of those cases that won't make it to Murder Mile because, you know, there's not enough information. So, immediately up.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Is it that? This is, we have travelled barely 200 feet now. And we've already packed in quite a few murders. So immediately opposite Dumplings Legend and Lotus Garden, immediately opposite, if you're looking on the map, on the left, on the right-hand side of the street, you'll see a Betfred. Betfred is a gambling place. You know, you can go in there, place bets on doggies or the horses, or if you're an idiot, you can use the fruit machines, which are all rigged. Anyway, this is 32 Gerrard Street. Again, this story is quite vague as well. It definitely happened. We've got it was in the press. There's a lot of information from the police, but as always, it was vague. So back in 2003, this used to be a bar called BRB. Which stands for Bar Room Bar. Busy place, nice and active, a good place to actually have a good bar. On the 3rd of June 2003, at about 5 p.m, it's weird, that's, you know, weekday rush hour. It shows the brazenness of it. It was a busy bar. Basically, a gunman walked in through the double doors there, into the bar. There's one guy there, 37-year-old victim, who was unidentified. He was shot dead in the club. In the bar, while he was having a drink, sitting next to two friends, basically a man walked up to him, shot him at least twice before running out. The victim was taken to, it says a central London hospital. I don't know which one that would be. Anyway, he died about 3 hours later. The suspect is believed to be Chinese, aged between 20 and 23, about 5'10". He had distinctive long hair with highlights, possibly dyed red at the back, and his hair fell over his face. He was wearing a distinctive red shirt. The case is still unsolved. And this is almost 30 years on now. If you are in Chinatown, there's some good restaurants. If you're on Macclesfield Street, just to say there's a really good pub up there. Am I on the right street? Yes. One of my favorite pubs is on there called De Hem's. It's a Dutch pub, it's very good. Also on Macclesfield Street, join intercassettes? What, that's not even a word. Intersects with Shaftesbury Avenue. And on the corner of here is another murder that we're going to deal with in this next section of the series. So that's something to look forward to. Where are we up to? Where are we going to? Ah, okay. We're going to take a little bit of a step forwards now. We're going into the second half of Gerrard Street, past the Everwell Chinese Medicine on the right. Got the Golden Phoenix there. It's pretty much like every, I would say if there's 10 premises, 9 will be restaurants. Anyway, we are just going past the Golden Phoenix and we're going to stop outside 39 Gerrard Street. It's actually now a restaurant called Leung's Legend, L-E-O-N-G-E-S, Leung's Legend. White building, 4 stories high. If you're a music fan, 39 Gerrard Street used to be Ronnie Scott's original jazz club. This was before it went over to Frith Street. So this was where it all started. There's a truck coming down, so it may be quite noisy in a second. This used to be known as the 39 Club. It was an illegal gambling club down in the basement. Down there, a lot of the clients play Chinese dominoes. It's kind of a numbers guessing game they have to play. But, you know, they're very serious about it. They love their game. The problem is you can come out of there having just played with like easily a £5,000 debt. And this is an illegal gambling club. So, you know, you can't exactly go to the police when you're in debt. Anyway, in that basement, 7th of July, 1982, at 1:30 a.m., an argument was sparked by a man who he'd won £70. Okay, that was all it was. And, you know, 1982. Decent amount of money, but not a huge amount of money. Yeah, argument kicked off. He was asked to leave. This story is very much like the Denmark Place fire, episode 1, which happened 2 years earlier and is literally just a couple of streets away. There'd been a bit of a growing turf war around that point between the Chinese triads and the Singapore gangsters. The triads used to organise the kind of the protection for the illegal nightclubs, but then obviously the Singaporeans came in and they started to take over as well. A petrol bomb, they're still uncertain, a petrol bomb or an incendiary device was thrown into the basement, killed at least 7 people that we know of. All of them were Chinese. The stories, we get a lot of stories from the police and the fire brigade who went in there, because the fire brigade is literally at the end of the street. They went in there. And they said it was an inferno. They said it was, I've got these quote here. Doctor on the scene said the victims never had a chance. They were asphyxiated very quickly. 2 policemen were seriously hurt and injured, and a firefighter was hurt by flying glass and debris in a second explosion, apparently caused by flames reaching the building's gas supply. There were 2 suspects, two Chinese men in a red Ford Capri with a black vinyl roof, that dates it, seen racing away from the Lun Fung Chinese supermarket just a few doors up. It's still there today. We're going to pass that shortly. 2 Vietnamese men were later found guilty and charged with the murder of 7 people. This may come to Murder Mile. I'm looking into it at the moment to see if there's kind of a sympathetic angle to it, but I'm not too sure. Even though it was only 1 petrol bomb, because it had hit the gas supply, it was so, the flames were really licking up, and it was such a fire that the building burned until dawn the following day, and then it flared up again the next day. Only 3 of the 7 bodies had been recovered by late Sunday. Obviously, police sealed off the scene, but they found it really difficult to track down those who were involved. In the end, it actually took... it was one of the guys who was a barman who was in there what he could have done was just said, you know, I'm not going to say anything. But, you know, because his friends had been killed, he was like, right, sod this, going to the police, which was quite a brave thing to do. And therefore, those involved were arrested. Whew, I'm out of breath. It's my good exercise for the day. Obviously, as mentioned, there's a lot of kind of, it still happens today. You think it's an old school thing, but there's still a lot of kind of triads, you know, gangsters, triads, a lot of violence between the rival groups in Chinatown. London's Chinatown it's been ruled for decades by 2 triad gangs known as 14K and Wu Xing Wu, who both originate from Hong Kong. They've had a real stranglehold of the kind of the restaurant trade here. They use gambling dens as kind of a base for extortion, smuggling, prostitution, credit card fraud, but it's also extended into murders as well. Currently, the triads, so we've got those 2 groups there, are taking on the Snake's Head gang from mainland China. The Snake's Heads, mainly from the Fujian province, are linked to human trafficking. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard for the police to really work out what is going on. If we're standing right in front of Lung's Legend, not on this street, but on the street immediately behind it is Lyle Street. And if you remember, that was Reginald Gordon West, who died on that street. That was the young man who went into the lap dancing club, wanted a bit drunk, wanted to use the toilet. Three guys outside decided to play a prank on the ladies in there, set fire to the stairs. The flames rushed up the stairs, literally burnt down the whole building, and he burnt to death in the toilet. It's a horrible story, that one. What a horrible way to die. Also as well, just slightly north, because we're just running parallel with Shaftesbury Avenue, is the first attempted assassination of Alexander Litvinenko, the Russian dissident. That's just north. That's in a hotel called the Shaftesbury. And if you remember, that's not the one where Litvinenko was poisoned. This was the one where they tried to poison him. It didn't work. They went to put it in his green tea. He wasn't thirsty. They kept, as the Lugovoy and Kovtun, the supposed Russia's best assassins, were apparently like, go on, drink your tea, drink your tea, drink your tea. And he's like, no, I'm not thirsty. And they were really terrible about it. So they came back. They had the polonium 210. They couldn't take it back with them, they thought, so they tipped it down the sink. So one of the rooms in the Shaftesbury Hotel, still to this day, is still radioactive. Apparently, like a couple of weeks, like a week after when they went into the hotel, nuclear scientists went in there with all the hazmat suits on, and it was so radioactive they could only go into that room for, I think they said it was 20 minutes before it became too dangerous. So, so I'm just taking a couple of steps forward now to 42 to 43 Gerrard Street, which is known as the Lun Fung Restaurant. Still there today. Nice kind of red awnings on the outside. It looks like a nice place you go into. It has a bit of a history. I'm being a bit quiet because the owners are outside. I have to be really careful about this. I don't want to end up dead. I don't want to end up in someone's soup. So 42 to 43 Gerrard Street, known as the Lun Fung Restaurant. It's now known as the new Lun Fung Restaurant. 21st of March 1982, there was a christening in there for a one-month-old child. Was a bit of a tradition there that groups would come in and they would toast everyone in the room independently, you know, toast the baby with like a glass of brandy. This is so vague. One of the boys who was part of the Singapore Boys, one of the groups, was toasting one of the boys from the K-14 Triads, who were from Hong Kong. Toasted him with a brandy to say, do you know, for the christening of the baby. The other guy said, no, I'm not interested. That's how it kicked off. Kicked off with, just erupted into violence, two rival groups. Apparently women and children hiding under tables. The guys there had butcher's knives. They were using bottles and chairs. One man named Quan Chan was killed and Michael Wong was seriously injured. Yeah. It's amazing how quickly it can. Oh dear. It's amazing how quickly it can kick off in kind of these stories. So walking on further up the street, obviously we've got the Paddy Power there, as always. We've got Betfred just down the street. Just passing. Sorry, it was being deliberately quiet. Just passing 8 Gerrard Street, lovely roast duck specialist restaurant called Haozan. I can't pronounce it. I'll probably mispronounce that really badly. I'm not too far from the second ornamental gate on this street. Again, this is another story that it's hard to really pin down exactly what happened. This was 8 Gerrard Street, now called Haozan. 1976, the date is very unspecified. It was an illegal gambling club. In there, they were playing Mahjong. The restaurant owner, called K. Wong, it could be Ki Wong as well. There's different spellings, and Weng as well. There's also versions of. He was so badly beaten over a debt that he suffered 14 broken ribs and ruptured his spleen. And the attack apparently on him was so hard by multiple attackers that one of the attacker's shoes split in half. Nice. Nice. Just taking us north now. We're almost at the end now. We've really whizzed through this. So I'm going under the western ornamental gate. Just going to pass the Joy Luck restaurant, which I went in there. I went in there a couple of times with They Walk Among Us, the podcast, and Generation Y. There's a big group of us there. And we went in, we ordered some food, and I was like, this is a good restaurant, you should try it out. So we went in there, ordered some food. Mine turned up, the food was bright red, and it was really, really heavy and chilly. And I was like, wow, this is burning my face off. And then everyone else's food turned up, and everyone else's food was red as well. And we were like, what's going on? And then we realized they must have had a run on chili and thought, sod it, we'll just add chili to everyone's food. It was impossible, we couldn't eat it, our lips were burning. Nice restaurant, I've ate there a couple of times, but be careful about anything that has the words chili on it. So I'm bringing us to the end of the street now. We've just passed the ornamental gate. We're literally just outside the New China restaurant at 48 Gerrard Street. To my left is a big brown building. It's huge on the corner of Gerrard Place. That is Shaftesbury Avenue Fire Station. They were the guys who reported to the Denmark Place fire. Do you know what? I've had a couple of guys from Soho Brigade on the tour before on Murder Mile Walks. They're really good fun, great fun. And through my research, I've spoken to lots of different police officers and, fire officers, people like that. And I said to them, do you have a problem with Chinatown? Because every time I try and do research about stories involving Chinatown, it's hard to get the information. It's like, it really is a closed shop, especially for a Westerner. Do you have the same problem? And they're like, yeah, if there's every kind of Chinatown all across the country, if ever there's a fire going on or there's an incident, if it involves a Westerner, they're not bothered. They're more than welcome for things, Fire Brigade to turn up. But if it involves a member of their own community, it's very secretive. Quite often they'll say, if there's a fire in Chinatown, the reason is because they want the building to catch fire. It's an insurance thing, they want to get rid of it. Or, it's a rival or things like that. And, if the fire brigade or police do turn up, there'll be locked doors, things will be blocked, they won't be able to get in. It's a real nightmare. There's been quite a few fires on Gerrard Street over the years. It's hard to research them because there's so many. But this was an interesting one. I saw this happening. I was on, coming in for my Sunday, my Murder Mile walk, and it's really weird. The street is always kind of quite empty, but as I walked down Shaftesbury Avenue through Chinatown, I saw like four or five fire trucks, and I thought, wow, that's a lot. That's a lot for around here. And then I saw two forensics teams. All of big chunk of Shaftesbury Avenue was shut off. Gerrard Street was shut off. And I was like, wow, this is, something must be going on. I really thought to myself, maybe this is, like a gas attack or something serious. It looked like a major, major incident. Anyway, I walked into town, and on the corner of Gerrard Street and Newport Place is a restaurant called the New China Restaurant at 48 Gerrard Street. And I'm going to thank My London for this, because I'm actually using their report on this because I thought they did a nice job. So it read, 25th of September 2019, so barely a year ago, a fire broke out in Chinatown in central London with thick smoke pouring out of the restaurant. London Fire Brigade sent 12 fire engines and around 80 firefighters to the fire on Gerrard Street. The third floor of the four-storey building was destroyed by fire, and part of the second floor was damaged. Four people managed to escape the fire before fire crews arrived, and firefighters wearing breathing apparatus led a further two people to safety via the staircase. There were no reports of any injuries. Firefighters used large ladders to reach the high points of the burning building, as smoke could be seen across Soho. London Fire Brigade were called at 8:40 a.m. and the fire was under control by 11:30. Fire crews from Soho, Euston, Lambeth, Paddington and surrounding areas were at the scene. The cause of the fire is under investigation. Now, interestingly, I turned up on that day and I looked at the building and there was just so many fire trucks there. And interestingly, talking to fire brigade officers, police officers, Chinatowns across different cities, they often say that sometimes you just can't get into a building, you know, because they've blocked it, they want it to burn, you know, it's an insurance job, or you know, it's a rival's premises and they just don't want you to have access there to put out the fire. But when they do get access, and this was an interesting one, it was an accident. So because the fire brigade were let in, I'm suggesting, I'm not saying that this is what happened, the forensic teams were sent in, because this is the only opportunity they're going to get to actually film inside that premises. If you think about it, next time it catches fire or something happens there, now they've got footage, now they know what the layout is, because it's kind of an interesting case. So no murders actually happened there. But that's just one of those cases which gives you a good insight into kind of the area and, you know, the kind of illegality of what's going on here. So this brings us to the end of the street. We've done it. It's literally 400 feet. We did that. That probably took us about an hour. Good bit of exercise. Brings us to the end of the street to a nice open piazza called Newport Place. If you've done my tour, you'll know about this place. This is, there's a restaurant in number 11 Newport Place called the Canton. That's where Red Max Cassell was murdered. You'll know about him from my walk. That won't appear on Murder Mile, that's specific for the tour. But next to that building at number 10 is the Chinatown Bakery. And it used to be the Rosendale Club. So if you go back a couple of episodes, God, middle of last season, that was the nightclub where the guy was shot dead. He was stabbed and shot dead five times in a nightclub that was only as big as someone's front room. And there were 40 people in there and almost no one saw him there or get murdered, or it was really vague. So have a listen to that one. That's the two-parter. It's the first part is what people said happened. And then the second part is kind of the truth about really what happened. Oh, there we go. That's my exercise for the day. How many steps have I done? Doesn't look like I've done that many. Cool. Although I've done a 15-mile cycle today to get into town to do this, even though my PO box is shut. Thanks to Ian, BitDead77. Thanks for the present. I went to my PO box today to go and get it. Unfortunately, my PO box is shut today, so I'm going to have to come in sometime next week. Unfortunately, I'm about 15 miles away from my PO box. Just while I'm there, just a thank you to my new Patreon supporters, who are, I'm doing it in the voice that I normally do it in, who are Karen Walsh, Jane Colbeck McKinnon, Cindy, and Robert Winning. A big thank you for that. Thank you for becoming Patreon supporters. I would have sent you your goodies to enjoy. With this, what I'm going to do, I'm going to upload all of the pictures that you need. So basically you can trawl through, have a look at all the locations. I'm going to film them all now or do little videos, little photos, and then you can wheel your way through them and just pretend that you're joining me on the tour. So hope you enjoyed that. That was Meander Mile Part 3. God, I did that in 45 minutes. That's a miracle. That is an absolute miracle. I thought this would have taken, at the start, I was thinking, God, this is going to take about an hour and a half, but it didn't. So thank you all very much for coming. Next week is obviously Meander Mile 4, which I'm going to record now. And then we will come back with episode 98, which is the episode that I mentioned at the very start at 23 Gerrard Street. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed that. Have yourself a good day. Be good. Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.